here's what happened. My keys are on here, okay, and they're in the ignition, and I shut off the car, and guess what? Can't pull the key out. So I figured, well, the shifter is not exactly in the right place, and so I backed up, and I pulled forward, and I put the brakes on, and I put it again, and I did this three times, and I'm praying, and I'm saying, Lord, what is going on? You know? Well, I couldn't get it out. So I said, well, I'll disconnect it off of here, and I'll lock the doors, and at least because the ignition was off, and the car was off, but obviously can't pull the key out. And of course, it has one of those little, you know, theft things, so that, you know, so I don't want to break it. So I prayed, and I kept getting go to the repair shop down in Palmer. Lord, what am I going to be doing there? Just pray, go. So I went. I had the man check it, and he says, well, he says, I can take it Wednesday morning. He says, there's two options, and of course I knew what they were. I mean, I could be the shifter thing that's not, you know, going right, or it could be the ignition itself that's not behaving. So I came back home, and I did the same thing again, locked the door, and got back in the car. And so my wife at 8:30 says to me, how about if we go and see our little granddaughter for a few minutes? She says, I'm lonely. I says, okay, we'll go. So I grabbed the keys to the car, unlocked it, because you have to get in, you know. And I told her about my experience. And so we drove over to my grandson's house and we parked the car. And you know how you do things without thinking. I mean, you drive a car, you pull the key out. Swing, key came right back out. So I had told the Lord, I says, if you want me to make a donation to Les's garage, that's perfectly okay. I don't have a problem giving him a gift. You know, but it would be much nicer if, you know, you got this thing cleaned up. So I gave it some holy oil this morning, and, bing, and it's fine ever since. So I called Mr. Les, and I told him what had happened. And he's trying to tell me that he can't obviously discern which is which, and if it happens again. And I says, I'm very, very grateful for your advice. It's not going to happen again. And I'm watching my words not to create another incident. So I'm very grateful that the Lord does these small things that we think are small, but they're not necessarily small. They're larger than what sometimes we realize. After I got done with this whole ordeal this morning, when I went to put the oil on the key, I'm very aware of someone having a dream about 6 or 7 months ago, and it's all about a key. And the whole dream came back. And the key in this situation was the wrong key in the correct ignition, if that makes any sense. And so, you know how God wants to jolt you? He wants to shake you a little bit. Well, he shook my car this afternoon. He reminded me about the dream, and the dream was my car. And this person who had the dream had never seen my car because it's not this car. And it was, in the dream, the wrong key. It was a fake key in the correct car, which is kind of neat. And the person who had the dream said they had the right key and said to the person, I want you to use the correct key so that you won't have all this trouble. And the person didn't want to use it. So, again, why does God do things to jolt us and to bring us to a little sharper vision of what's happening? It's because his plan of salvation will not be stopped. His plan of restoration will not be stopped. And I'm glad you went to Isaiah, because that's where we're going. This afternoon I heard loud and clear Isaiah 54. And I can remember giving this out on our first anniversary as a church, which is kind of neat. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy. you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations. Now, I want you to read with me out loud. Just close your eyes if you're not using the same version. Say, I will spread out to the right, and I will spread out to the left, and my descendants will dispossess nations. That's physical and spiritual descendants. Got it? And settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. How many find that shame and exposure can cripple you? Would you try that one on, young lady? Say, I will not suffer. Will not be afraid. I will not suffer shame. I won't fear disgrace. And I will not be humiliated. And the next part is kind of neat. That was part of the teaching that we had. I forgot which day, but it says you will forget the shame of your youth. You will forget the shame of your youth. It says in the book of Hebrews that Abraham did not fail in his faith. He was consistent in his faith. Well, if you read Genesis, you see just the opposite. You see him lying about his sister. You see him falling off the track several times. But the scripture in Hebrews, written by Paul, is really not the actual record of what happened to Abraham. It is God's opinion of Abraham. So in God's opinion, Abraham never failed because he has no memory of Abraham's shortcomings. When are you going to forget your shortcomings? When are you going to trust him to erase in your own mind all the things of your youth that you goofed on? Now, of course, you guys never did those bad things, but I did quite a few. I don't want to lose you in going into a guilt space, but I know that I was totally human and did lots of bad choices, but God says you can erase it. Okay? And so I'm trying to give you understanding that you cannot help someone else to come out of their difficulty if you concentrate only on how ugly they were and how ugly you were to make them feel good. Forget your mistakes. The dead man is dead. Don't try to rise him back up again. Okay? And what am I saying to you? I'm trying to give you understanding that the scripture was forecasting that day that the men and women in the earth, would not have a memory. That they would forget the shame of their youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood, feeling totally alone. How many feel alone because nobody wants to worship with them? I feel that. Okay? And I'm positive that the Lord himself felt totally without his bride. Because his bride is what become? She's become a prostitute. She's not interested in the king. She's interested in building herself up, making herself look good, performing, ever trying to become holy in their own eyes, yet in God's eyes, what are they? A fake. Amen? Okay. For your Maker is your husband, and the Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth, and the Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit. In other words, there's a season that you're going to feel all those things. A wife who married young only to be rejected, says your God. For a brief moment, I abandoned you. So he admits, sometimes you will feel that you were abandoned, forgotten, and left out. But with deep compassion, I will bring you back. Did you hear that? In a surge of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. To me, this is like the days of Noah, when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth. So now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again, though the mountains be shaken and the hills are removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. So harmony is going to happen and it will remain, says the Lord, who has compassion on you, O afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted. I will build you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with sapphires, and I will make your battlements of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all your walls of precious stone. All your sons will be taught by the Lord. The great will be your children, and great will be your children's peace. I said to the Lord today, I'm watching my grandson going through an incredible test that I would never advise anyone else to have to go through. But I also said, it's worth it. I don't know what you're going to do with him. I don't know how you're going to conform him to your image through this, but it's okay. And I'm going to rejoice that you've got a plan of salvation. And it says in verse 14, in righteousness you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. I think we should send that one to our president. It will come near you. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. That should give you a clue about what's going to happen to the enemy. So it is I who created the blacksmith who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to work havoc. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. Why? Because those are arrows coming at you. Amen? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. You know, I can remember many years ago the Lord giving me that same scripture, having to declare it from beginning to end. And as I declared it, everything in me was shaking. Because I was so afraid that I was doing this out of my flesh. I mean, no, you have to do things afraid sometimes. You have to walk on emotions. You have to walk and do. And I did. I obeyed. After I gave the message, I read the whole thing. And of course, it seems like an eternity when you're reading it and everybody's looking at the clock. Okay? And of course, probably nobody was looking at the clock, but as far as I was concerned, they were all looking at the clock because I was looking at the clock. So my focus was on the clock. Even though I was persevering, doing it afraid, my knees were shaking, and my entire innards were like jello under a tremendous earthquake. And it was not God's angels that were shaking me. I'm telling you right now, it wasn't. It was me doing it afraid. After I gave the word, and it was a reasonable sized meeting, after I gave the word and I went back to my seat, I can remember the trying so hard to get my body to rest. You know, just it didn't want to stop. I mean, my whole insides were still all shaky. Well, everything was completed. A person came up to me and said, "I want to honor the Lord that carried you up and back. I felt the shaking that you were going through, but I needed that word because that word was given to me and I didn't have a confirmation yet to believe that we were to extend our tent. But now, because you obeyed and you read the entire chapter, I was able to obey." That says to me that there are times that you're going to give out visions, you're going to give out words of knowledge, and there will be pressure on you. But it is not of God's doing. It is you forcing yourself to obey the Lord, and the Lord of heaven will recompense you. It is not his desire to destroy anyone. It is, however, up to us to stand our ground to the very best of our ability and to trust that he loves us, because he does. He really, really loves you. Would you bow your heads, please? Put your hand over your heart. Say, "Lord Jesus, you didn't give me a spirit of fear."
Lord Jesus, you didn't give me a spirit of fear.
2 Timothy 1:7.
2 Timothy 1:7.
Says, "You did not give me a spirit of timidity." But you gave me power, love, and a sound mind. And that is mine in Christ Jesus. I rejoice that I can do things even when I'm afraid. And it's going to get easier as the days go forward. Because I will walk on those old emotions. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.